All right, so we're here to talk about your project, St. Paul de Vence, and explain to me why a band in Seattle is named after a town in southern France.
Well, it all came about as a side project. I was doing my solo work, and with my band with the solo work. It was just Benjamin Dore, the Benjamin Dore Band, and I was talking with my grandfather, and he was interested in having me write his sort of his life story. He was interested in talking about his life, and he was born in the south of France in 1924, November of 1924, in a small town of Nice. It's kind of becoming a big town now, but he came of age under Nazi and German Italian occupation, and it was kind of just the World War II times, and was a young lad, kind of, you know, growing up and going through his adolescence under occupation, and then the Free French forces rolled in, and to make a long story short, Free French forces rolled in and liberated Nice, and he joined up with them and went on to fight with them through the end of the war. And so he had this kind of really rich story to tell about his life in the south of France through the war. And he wanted to share it with me, and he knew I was wanting to write, not songs in particular, but wanting to just write, you know, put it down on the page, which didn't end up working out that well, because it just all kind of came out in song form. We sat down and did some interviews where I just talked to him and recorded it and just got his stories. And then as I started to listen back through them, these ideas came to me of storylines. And then I had some music, some new music that wasn't really fitting the Benjamin Dore project. And I just had some, you know, nice guitar tunes and piano tunes and things that just weren't really fitting into that. And I started to write my grandfather's stories into those pieces of music, and had these really cool stories that had a great narrative and really interesting kind of background and quirkier sounds with accordion and whatever else. And I ended up recording I wanted to do a solo project where I did everything myself, including the engineering and the recording process. And I had my good friend and producer friend who had worked with me on a bunch of the Benjamin Dore stuff. He mixed it and mastered it, but I had this three-song EP, and it was basically just sitting there as this side project with these three songs about my grandfather's life. And I went to France with my grandfather, and this project seemed to sort of be picking up traction for me anyway, creatively. And we went to France together, my first time in France, and I took my wife and our daughter at the time, and my wife was pregnant with our little son, and we went on this great trip, visiting some other friends elsewhere in Europe, but also spent a week in France with my grandfather. And when we went to St. Paul de Vence, and he showed me where he was first stationed when he joined the Free French Forces. So St. Paul de Vence, this is not a short story at all, I guess. It's the long anyway. St. Paul de Vence is a small walled village that's about 25 minutes or maybe 25 miles, I don't remember, northwest of Nice. And he was stationed there when he first joined the war movement towards the end there. And he was able to show me this little house in the village. It's now a gift shop or something at the entrance of the village, but he showed me the steps where he slept on a bus cushion, and that was like where he was stationed. And it was just really hit me as like kind of the spot. And as we hiked to the very top of the village and looked out over all of the land and kind of this pastoral view, it just struck me that that was the name of the project. I mean, I had this EP in hand, it was done, I had it, or it was close to done anyway, and I was showing my grandfather the songs, and we were, you know, as we sit in this apartment in Nice, and it just all kind of came together in the space. So that's how we ended up with a French name that's like a total mouthful and not a phonetic spelling and always confuses people. But there it is. Yeah, that's how we came about the name.
Wow. And so then, right, so then the next step in the process, then how did it go from being a solo project to the it's no longer a solo project to the band that you have now?
Yeah, so two of the songs, or maybe all three off of the EP, as soon as the EP was done, or before it was done, I had more songs coming to me. I mean, with this project, like, basically the first record's worth of songs came to me in a single sitting. I mean, not felt that way. It was a matter of weeks where these songs just all came rushing in. And I started putting some of them on my band, on the Benjamin Dora band, and they didn't sit all that well there, but it was fun to explore with them there. And then
what's
the guy,
configuration of that band? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but what's the configuration?
No, that's okay. Oh, the Benjamin Dora band?
Yeah.
We had drums, keys, bass, and guitar, and for a while had a background singer, you know, a harmonizing vocalist and rhythm guitarist. So it was kind of like a, you know, pop rock kind of thing, indie pop kind of thing. Totally different from St. Paul de Vence. And so I really wanted these songs to sit on a band. And so I asked the guys, I had recorded the EP with like toy piano and concertina, and I had this accordion, and the percussion I had done was using a mallet on the accordion case. And so I set up the accordion case with a kick drum pedal and was like, hey, that'll work for percussion. And like, I was like, Alex, who played bass at the time, I was like, you want to play a ukulele and maybe bring your banjo, and, you know, let's just like throw a pile of instruments in the middle of the room and let's just see what happens. And so they were like, well, okay, yeah, the songs are cool, let's check it out. And so we just started playing these songs, and, you know, these guys had never sung either, like they never used their voices in the Benjamin Dora band, because they were always like the guys I brought into that band, you know, it was like we had this produced product, and then we, like, put the band into it. We hired the people into it, essentially. And they were all good friends, and we had a great time, but it was very much at a specific direction. And this band, like, when we started, it was just like, well, I want to hear more voices together, and we started singing together, and it felt so great. And it just was a cool little birth of sound. So, and I had all these other songs outside of the EP that were able to take shape through our playing them and really exploring them that way. So Alex ended up on auto harp and ukulele, and I think a little bit of banjo in the beginning, and also singing. He's got this amazing, powerful voice. And then Mike Sievers, we call him Chili, he went from keys onto accordion, and now he plays keys as well as accordion in the band. But and just like really dug into the accordion, having no background in accordion, just totally picked it up and rocked it. It was awesome. And then our friend Justin Froese moved up from San Diego and picked up the banjo and played some percussion, and it all kind of just took off from there. And then has, you know, shape-shifted a little bit. Justin's now moved on from the band, and we've gained this awesome gal, Lydia Ramsey, who plays banjo. Or now plays banjo, because I was like, you want to play banjo? But she also plays mandolin amazingly, and she brought trumpet to the mix. So now we've got trumpet in the mix, and so it's cool. It kind of keeps growing. We've added a full drum kit and an electric bass, and so it just keeps kind of, it's like this amoeba thing that keeps adding on. And who knows, maybe we'll be like Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros by the end of the day with like 27 people on stage all doing something. But no, I was just going to say that's kind of how it became a band. It was kind of accidental. And I will say further to that point that we didn't know what to do with it. And we just played together a bunch, and sort of I stopped booking anything for Benjamin Dora. Except we had this show at the Tractor that I'd gotten. So we presented it there in its earliest form, which is a great venue in Seattle. And great sold out show with the Paper Boys from Vancouver. And it was just this really cool introduction there. And people dug it. And we played an open mic in the Ballard neighborhood where it gained traction. We played a couple of those. And then we it just sort of kind of took off in a really grassroots way.
Wow. So when you added all these and when you sort of started playing with all these instruments, describe for me the sound you were going and how it differs.
Gosh, you know, I don't know that I really had a sound in mind other than what I had created on the EP, which I don't think is any longer available to find anywhere, but I can send it to you so you can hear it. Because it was just very, I wanted to move away from the electric kind of epic pop thing that we were doing with the Benjamin Dore band. It was just, you know, super amplified, and I was playing electric guitar. I just wanted to get back to, I have a real love affair with vintage acoustic instruments and with folk tradition, and, you know, just like banging on stuff for percussion. And I'm a very percussive player anyway. And so I just had this feeling like that I wanted to get to a more acoustic space. That's what kind of sits with me naturally. And as I shared some of these early tunes with really close friends of mine, they all said, like, this sounds like the Ben I imagine I would hear, which was a really interesting, I heard that from a couple different people, and that was like, okay, yeah, it really felt like truer to me, I guess. Not that I was being inauthentic with my solo stuff. I was absolutely, you know, full-blown into that and loved it. And it wasn't like I was sick of it and wanted to move on to the next thing. It's just that this next thing grabbed my attention and my passion and my desires in such a big way creatively that the solo thing just went by the wayside. So I don't know that I was going for a specific sound. It just kind of happened because I had these instruments, and then we had these instruments as a band when it came to that, that I wanted to explore. So it wasn't so much like, hey, this is a specific sound, but it was like, I want to use these instruments
mm-hmm.
in a cool, unique way. I mean, like my daughter's toy piano, you know, made it into a song. And it was just kind of auto harp is a instrument that makes it into our tunes. And that's kind of like, you know, there's not like a lot of mainstream bands out there using auto harp, you know. It's like June Carter Cash was like using auto harp. So it's not, it's kind of cool to bring instruments like that into it, different textures than you might get otherwise. So that was really more the thing, was about the instrumentation and just seeing what we could do with it rather than having an end goal in mind, I guess.
Yeah. Auto harp makes me think of eighth grade music class. That's what it makes me think.
Yeah,
of.
Totally, right? yeah. And that's what it was designed for. It was designed, you know, in I think like the 1800s or something, for, you know, people could just look at the button that has the chord name on it and you strum it. And, you know, it's like you don't have to have a particular skill for it, though I will say that Alex Molloy has a particular skill for auto harp. He's really developed kind of a cool rocking way to play it, so
it's pretty amazing.
It's fun.